Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Podcast listeners, thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 42 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, before we get started with today's show, I wanted to make one quick ask. Now, I usually don't ask much, you guys, but it would mean the world to me if you could leave a quick rating and review of the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to this one. If I have brought you any value in the past with any of these shows that I have, it would really mean a lot for me to get your feedback. So for iTunes, just click on the Squat University podcast logo, scroll down to the bottom of the feed, and you can leave as many stars as you think the show is worth, and even leave a little review if you have a second. When I first started the podcast, I recorded a bunch of shows where it was just myself rambling about whatever topic the day had, basically. But recently, I decided to branch out, as you guys have known, into a little bit more interview, sort of longer form content with experts in different fields and areas of study. For example, I had Lane Norton on last week talking about nutrition, and the past Olympian Chad Vaughn on Olympic weightlifting, or Dr. Stuart McGill on back pain. So I hope you guys are enjoying both forms, sort of long and short of the podcast. Today's going to be another short, sort of just me version of the show. So I hope you guys are ready for some quick and to the point fire content on how to fix your technique. So let's get to today's show without any further ado. Today I want to talk about how to improve your front rack position either during a front squat or with a clean. Now I have seen many people throughout my years as a physical therapist, as a strength and conditioning coach, and coach in the Olympic weightlifting world. Remember, I've been in the sport of Olympic weightlifting since 2005. In the past couple of years, getting a number of DMs from people over Instagram and all the other social media platforms, limited front squat mobility, the ability to get the elbows up when you're doing a front squat or a clean, is one of the biggest problems that a lot of people have. Now, in order to get your elbows into that high rack position, you need a sufficient amount of three different things: wrist extension, thoracic spine extension, and lat flexibility. Those are at least the three main issues that a lot of people struggle with. So today what I want to do is sort of go through each one of those factors, break down exactly how it could be limiting your front rack, how you would even screen to figure out if that is your issue, and then a simple way that you could start fixing it. So let's start off with one that is probably the least impactful factor out of all of them, but it does play a part in some people's issues. So that is the wrist. Now, a mobile wrist is essential for getting your fingers underneath the barbell. If you watch any elite weightlifter front squat, they usually have their wrists bent back a little bit. This is called wrist extension. So if you're standing wherever you're doing right now, sitting down, if you take your hand and you bring it backwards like you're going to get your hands underneath the barbell, that's the motion of wrist extension. If you're lacking wrist extension, you're not gonna be able to get your hands into a good position. Now, if you have crazy flexible lats or extension elsewhere in your body and you're able to get your elbows up extremely high, you may not need a lot of wrist extension, especially if you have smaller arms. If someone has bigger arms, they have more robust biceps, I guess we'll say, you're going to need a little bit more wrist extension in order to get your hands underneath the barbell. Now, a lot of people ask me, do I need to take a full grip on a front squat? Do I need to have my hands completely underneath the bar? Now, ideally, I want you to get most of your fingers and probably close to the top of your palm. I want that underneath the barbell. That's ideal. I understand that not every single person is there. So if you're only getting a few fingers under the barbell right now, I think we could probably work to better position your body. That doesn't mean it's ever going to be perfect because there's a lot of other factors at play. But I think if we can improve it a little bit to where you can get at least almost all of your fingers underneath the bar resting across the top of your palms or where your calluses are, I think that's gonna be a little bit more ideal when it comes to efficiency of maintaining control of the barbell. And especially if you're an Olympic weightlifter or a CrossFitter and you're trying to set yourself up for doing a jerk, the last thing you're gonna wanna do is have to lower your elbows like crazy in order to even get a grip on the barbell for the next portion of the lift. So if you're going to do a jerk, it's not very efficient to have the bar only in your fingertips because you're not gonna get much contribution with your upper body during the drive phase. And we also don't want to have to lower your elbows like crazy in order to get that grip for the jerk. Now, some people do lower their elbows a little bit, but I would say on average, most people still want to maintain that fairly high elbow position with the barbell supported mostly by the tips of the fingers and that first part of the palm for an efficient drive into the jerk. But today we're just talking about the front squat position. How do you screen for your wrist extension? What you're going to do, put your hands together, sort of like a praying pose, I guess you would say. You're going to put your hands together right in front of your chest, and you're going to pull down to see how far you can bring your wrists back. Ideally, we want to see our wrist joint move to a 90 degree, sort of an L position. If you were to look at yourself from the opposite view, you should be able to draw an L from your palm down to your wrist. Now, if you come up short, it may be due to a few different issues. The first could be stiff muscles in your forearm. What you can do, sort of a check, recheck kind of method, find a small ball, spend about, like a, I'm talking tennis ball, lacrosse ball, spend about 1 minute or so rolling the ball up and down the length of your forearm, searching for spots that you may feel a little bit stiff. Then recheck your wrist mobility with that simple screen. Did you make any change? That's a very simple way that you can find sort of anecdotal changes. Was that right for my body? For some people, it may help. For some people, it may not. But find what's right for your body. Another reason you could have limited wrist mobility could be due to a joint restriction. So the way in which your bones are sort of moving over one another. There's a ton of bones in your wrist, but if they're not moving well, for whatever reason, that could also be limiting your wrist extension. Another way to work on that, or a way to work on that, is with a banded joint mobilization. It's going to prove basically the way that those bones are gliding over another. You're going to place your wrist in an extended position, like put your wrist on a box. You're going to have your other hand come over. Now, you can do this with a band or you can do it with your hand, but you're going to force your palm down into the box. If the band is there, it is pulling on the top of your palm, not on your wrist. And then what you're going to do is pull upwards with that palm that is down into the box and then rotate over and back into more wrist extension. The reason the band or your other hand that's pushing down is placed, the force is placed on the top of the hand in pulling down and not on top of the actual arm is because it's going to help improve the way the joint naturally moves. When you move your wrist and grab the barbell, sort of put yourself into wrist extension, the small bones in your hand, your scaphoid and lunate specifically, they glide towards the front side of your arm, the anterior side. So for this reason, when we have a band pulling down, we want the band or your force with your other hand to help assist with this way that the bones are naturally gliding in your hand and wrist. So if that is sort of confusing and you want to see what that actually looks like with these mobilizations a little bit better, go on my YouTube page, scroll down. There should be a video called How to Improve Wrist Mobility. Great video that should be able to help you visualize a little bit better of what I'm trying to say with improving wrist mobility. So let's go on to sort of the next issue. We talked about wrist mobility. Thoracic spine extension is another limiting factor often in front rack mobility. Now, your thoracic spine or T-spine refers to the middle portion of your back. It's essentially fairly stiff compared to other parts of your spine, your neck, and your low back. And it has to be because a number of ribs attached there. And the goal with each one of those ribs and its attachment is to maintain the safety of the vital organs held underneath. Makes sense. What we find is that the mid-back, however, has a tendency to become excessively stiff. And therefore, most of us would benefit from becoming a little bit more mobile in this area. Again, most of us. Not every single one of us, because there are some people that are often very hypermobile. So again, it's all about sort of finding what things are right for your body. Now, what does stiffness look like in this region? Now, wherever you are right now listening to this podcast, I want you to slouch with really crappy posture. Bring your shoulders forward, round your upper back like crazy. That round is called thoracic spine kyphosis. And when you use crappy posture throughout most of your day, you never expose yourself or train into a good extended posture, like if you sit up straight with sort of what some people would call a tall postured position, your body can eventually adapt to that rounded posture. Now, why would that rounded posture limit your front rack position? Try this test. Sit back into that rounded kyphotic posture that I just talked about, and then try to lift your arms as high as you can over your head. Now, sit up tall and do the same exact thing. Could you easily move your arms more over your head with good posture or bad posture? Probably with good posture. It's because your mid-back provides the platform for your shoulder blades to move and therefore the arms to move. So poor posture limits how much the arms can then elevate, meaning it can limit how easy it is to get your elbows up into a front rack position. So therefore, improving thoracic spine mobility can therefore give you a much more efficient arm movement and a greater ease at getting into your front rack. Now, while that last little test was all in good fun as far as noting huge changes in thoracic spine movement and how it affects your arms, how do you actually test to find out if you have a problem? It's actually a little difficult for most people if you don't have a physical therapy degree and understand the nuances of measuring things. It can be a little bit difficult to measure thoracic spine mobility because it's comprised of multiple spinal joints. It's not just like the shoulder or the knee where you have just one joint and you can, you know, take a measurement tool and sort of see exactly how much movement you have. Because it's difficult to measure spinal extension, what we do is we often measure spinal rotation because it can give us an idea of how the spine is moving as a whole. This is because each spinal joint moves on top of each other in a similar fashion during rotation and extension. So what you can do is a simple mid-back rotational assessment to give you an idea of whether or not you have big limitations in how your spine is moving. An easy way to do this: tape an X on the ground with the edges forming a 90-degree angle, or find a place in your gym where you've got some mats that come together at sort of an X position. You're going to sit in the middle of the X so that it is looking like a V right in front of you. You're going to place a PVC pipe or a bar, probably go with the PVC pipe. Bar's probably going to be a little bit heavier for this rotation. You're going to place that across your chest as if you're performing a front squat. You can do a cross grip if you want. And then you are going to rotate as far as you can to the left and to the right. Now, ideally, you should be able to rotate your thoracic spine, your mid-back, each way to about 45 degrees, which means that the PVC pipe is going to end up being parallel to the tape on the ground that is in that V position in front of you. Now, while you're doing this test, not only do you want to see is, can I reach that left and right side to at least that 45 degree mark, but can I also have symmetry left and right side? If, what, let's say one side, when you're twisting to your left, you're able to get to 45 degrees, maybe even a little bit more, but going to your other side, you're very short, so you have an asymmetry side to side. That can be sort of a red flag for having an issue in producing correct, or let's say sufficient, spinal extension. So that may be a reason why. So you want to take a big circle in your training book and mark off thoracic spine mobility, because you will probably benefit from doing some drills if you have a big asymmetry. The big thing to understand whenever we're talking about powerlifting, weightlifting, CrossFit, a lot of the weight room activities that we do, we require a body to be very symmetrical. So whenever we're doing a lot of these screens, we're looking for the same sort of movement capabilities side to side. In other sports, it may not be as needed. For example, a field goal kicker in the sport of football, likely you're gonna see some big asymmetries in their plant leg versus their kicking leg in terms of muscle size, muscle or joint capabilities, because one leg is being used to plant and sort of absorb a lot of power, and then the other leg is gonna be used almost like a slingshot to kick the ball. In baseball, with pitchers, it's normal to see a little bit of asymmetry side to side because they're always doing the same motion where they're twisting one way or the other. So asymmetry to a point in certain sports is normal. In your barbell sports, it's not as normal, or ideally we want to minimize it as much as possible because it can lead to improper movement and absorption of different forces whenever we're lifting. So we want to try to minimize those asymmetries as much as possible in our regular barbell training movements. So we just talked about thoracic spine mobility. Did you find something? Did it come up short? Yes or no? Did you have an asymmetry? Yes or no? Let's go on to the last thing that could potentially hinder your front rack position, and probably the aspect, the factor that I think has the most impact on your front rack position. That is the lats. Now, what are the lats? Besides being those humongous V-shaped muscles that you see on a lot of big bodybuilders or a very muscular person, the lat muscles span from your low back and attach all the way on your humerus, your arm bone. When elongated, they allow you to move your arm up and over your head. However, just because you can raise your arm above shoulder height does not mean the lats are flexible enough for a quality front rack position. Now, this is something that I have heard, unfortunately, over social media a lot recently, is people will say, hey, can you move your arm over your head? Stand up, take your hand, can you reach over your head? Yeah, that means your lats are flexible enough for a good front rack position. That's not true. As we're going to talk about right here, there's a number of different factors that go into that, more than just the ability to raise your arm overhead. I had a post a few weeks ago on Instagram where I showed a CrossFitter named Robbie. He owns Doer CrossFit out here in Lee Summit, Missouri, just south of Kansas City. And he was having some issues in his front rack. Now, this issue didn't necessarily come out with lighter weights, but it was more when he had to really, really maintain that high elbow position with heavy front squats, especially for multiple reps or with catching a heavy clean. It was apparent that his right elbow liked to drop a lot. He could not raise it as much as his left. If you just had him stand in your normal front rack position, I think I showed this in the video. Stand in the front rack position, obviously lightweight because I'm not going to have him stand here for a second, but I would have him drive his left elbow up as high as he could and then his right elbow and his left elbow, and he could get it all the way to almost his eye level or forehead. But when I had him drive his right elbow up, he could not even lift it above that parallel position. So obviously we're looking at something different side to side. Now, the next thing to do whenever you're finding an asymmetry side to side or an issue where you're like, I have no idea what's causing this, we need to then understand how to break down the body and find out what is the exact issue limiting it. We can't just assume it's lat flexibility. So what did we do? I laid him on his back and I rose his arm overhead. Now, when we're doing that, I want to hold his shoulder blade from moving so I can really assess the shoulder joint movement. I don't want to let one shoulder blade excessive movement sort of cloud our judgment as to how well the arm is moving. So I'm taking the hand and I'm going to have his thumb at first facing the sky. While he's on his back, that means that we're putting his arm into an internally rotated position. Now, the lats internally rotate the arm. So especially like if you're getting ready for a deadlift, that's why we cue internal rotation whenever you're pulling the bar instantly from the ground. That means that the elbows are going to be pushed out to the side. They're going to be facing the weights that are attached to the barbell. That internal rotation is something that the lats do. They pull the arm in. Not only is that going to help keep the bar close to the body, extension of that bar, keep it close to your body, but it's also going to help turn those lats on to keep the arms locked out and just providing sufficient tension for the body. So arms internally rotated, thumb facing the sky, they're on their back, my hand is pushing down on the shoulder blade, and then I move his arm as high as I can over his head. Then I do the same exact thing, except I'm going to turn his palm to the ground. His thumb is now facing out to the side away from his body, so I'm externally rotating his shoulder. Again, same thing, block the shoulder blade, now move the arm overhead. All I'm doing is changing the internal and external rotation capabilities of the shoulder. This internally rotated position where the thumb is facing the sky takes slack off the lat muscle and therefore allows someone with a flexibility limitation to move their arm further over their head. So if I am able to take someone in an internally rotated shoulder position and raise their arm overhead, and then I externally rotate them and do the same exact thing, and they are very limited, it is a positive most of the time that they have a significant lat flexibility issue. Now, this is granted that person is not having a large shoulder joint restriction. Often that will present with limited internal and external rotation. So let's say someone had a recently repaired slap tear of their labrum, or they had a rotator cuff surgery. So there's something at the joint and the small muscles that surround the joint. If there is not a previous surgery, most people that have limited arm elevation, moving the arm overhead in an externally rotated position, we can say it's likely more lat flexibility because when internally rotated, they can raise much more. Sufficient lat flexibility allows you to raise the arm, externally rotate your shoulder, and isometrically contract in that position to aid in core stability and stiffness. So the lats have three different jobs to do whenever we're talking about a front squat. When you tell people that just raising your arm overhead means that they have sufficient lat flexibility, they're only talking about one factor in arm elevation, which is just flexion. when you're raising your arm overhead, you're only looking at elevation. When you're getting into a front rack position, your hands are outside your shoulder. That's external rotation. That means the lats need to be even more flexible than just moving them above the head. Then we need to be able to tighten down in that position because the lats are also very helpful at aiding in trunk stiffness, which you definitely need during a front squat because we need to have as much core stability as possible to lift the weights. So there are three qualities of movement basically that we need to hit. So if someone is limited in lat flexibility, it will have a large impact on how well they can get into that front rack position. Okay, so now that we have gone through all three of those main factors, wrist, thoracic spine extension, lat flexibility, it's now time to talk about fixes. Now, when addressing weak links in upper body, especially mobility restrictions, we need to tackle the thoracic spine first before moving on to other areas such as lat flexibility. Think about it like this. If you're going to spend time fixing up a broken down house, you're hopefully going to address cracks in the foundation before painting the ugly walls. Now, just like the concrete that supports the walls of a house, your mid-back sets the foundation for the entire shoulder joint. So a stiff thoracic spine that's unable to extend limits efficient shoulder blade movement, which then affects the mechanics and stability of the shoulder joint itself. Fix the foundation first, then move on to the rest of the body. So how do we fix thoracic spine extension? One of the best tools for improving thoracic spine mobility is to do some joint mobilizations. We can use a peanut. Now, yes, there's some manufacturers out there that make a fancy peanut. You can pay a pretty dollar to get one of those pre-molded ones where it's two balls almost connected. However, you can save yourself a lot of money by just taping two tennis or lacrosse balls together. To perform a thoracic spine joint mobilization, you're just going to lay on your back, arms crossed in front of you, and you're going to put that peanut in the middle of your spine to where your spine is right in the middle of those two taped balls together. Put your hands out in front of you and cross your arms. That's going to move your shoulder blades out to the side and provide a little bit more space for the ball. The tennis or lacrosse balls, like I said, should rest on each side of your spine. What you're going to do is then perform really tiny mini crunches by just raising your shoulders off the ground a few inches and back. Do that a number of times. You don't necessarily need to hyper extend over the top of this. It's very, very small rhythmical motions. Make sure that you're not hyperextending your lower back during this movement. I see so many people that are trying to focus on improving mid-back mobility, and all they're doing is arching their low back. That's not doing anything efficiently for what we're trying to improve, mid-back mobility. The peanut should be acting like a fulcrum on your spine, sort of like the center of a teeter-totter during this movement. So when the force is applied to a stiff section of your spine, it can help improve mobility because it's going to help all the other joints above and below sort of move a little bit more into the position that we want to get some more motion extension. So usually what I do is 2 to 3 sets of like 15 reps on a particular segment of your mid-back, and then you can sort of move an inch up or move an inch lower to another part of your thoracic spine. Find the spots that feel a little stiff. If you have limited joint mobility in your thoracic spine, you'll feel parts of your spine that are feeling stiff, like they're not moving very well compared to another. Spend a little bit more time there. You don't need to be doing this on your entire spine if you feel like it's moving pretty well in that area. So that's one thing you can do is the thoracic spine mobilization, joint mobilization with the peanut. Remember, two taped balls together. Don't need to go spend a lot of money unless you want to. It's not a bad thing, but the big thing I always hate is people selling you crap you may or may not need when you can go out and buy it much cheaper and get the same effect from it. Next thing we can do is a box stretch. What you're going to do is kneel close to a bench or a high, like a plyo box. You're going to grab a PVC pipe and you're put your elbows on the box. You're facing the box and you are going to perform a motion that's similar to like the prayer stretch in yoga. And all you're going to do from this position is sit your butt back on your heels while simultaneously dropping your chest towards the ground. Remember, your elbows are up high on the box. And by dropping your chest towards the ground, you're arching that mid-back. You should feel a good stretch in your mid-back. I like it a lot of times to just hold this for like 5 deep breaths in and out. And again, what you want to do is recheck your mobility afterwards. Was it efficient for your body at eliciting the change you desire? So after doing the joint mobilizations with the peanut, after doing the box T-spine stretch, try that seated rotational test again. See if there was any change, because the last thing you want to do is spend 15 to 20 minutes doing mobility work that's not right for your body. If after doing those, you're not finding any change, you can go on my website, squatuniversity.com. Remember, all my information on there is free. There is a blog entitled How to Improve Thoracic Spine Mobility. There are a couple other drills that may be more effective for your body. The next thing you can do once we hit thoracic spine mobility is then hit lat mobility. Remember, fix the foundation first, then paint the ugly walls. So we're going to start working on lat mobility. You can actually do a very similar stretch to that box T-spine stretch for your lats. All you're going to do is change two different things. You're going to have your elbows, when you're grabbing the PVC pipe, you're going to make your arms look like a V. So you're going to bring your elbows in and your hands are going to be out to the side. What's that doing? It's externally rotating your shoulder joint, which is placing a stretch on your lats. Next, instead of sitting your butt completely back on your heels and arching your back, bringing your chest down to the ground, you're going to round your back. You are going to sit your butt back, but you're going to try to round, excessively round your back. What is that doing? Remember, your lats run the length of your spine. Rounding your back as you sit your butt back on your heels puts this muscle on a stretch. We're doing it two ways. We're externally rotating the arms. We have our hands in a V grabbing the PVC pipe with our arms, elbows up on the box. But we're also going to round the back and stretch the lats from the other position. Now, if you're doing this correctly, you should feel a stretch along the lateral part of your back into like the lateral armpit. That's where your muscle actually runs, your lats run and attach to your arm. You should not feel this, however, in the shoulder joint. So if you are feeling this in the shoulder joint itself, like in the front or the very top part, you may need to reposition yourself, grab a friend, see if they can see something else that maybe you're doing incorrectly, or you may just need to try a different type of lat stretch. Or, for example, just foam rolling your lats can be great. I remember I've had some powerlifters recently just do some lat stretches or lat foam rolling because they were extremely stiff and couldn't necessarily get into the best positions for this stretch, and they found dramatic changes in lat flexibility just with like a minute of foam rolling. Remember, foam rolling can be efficient for a lot of people. There's some out there that demonize foam rolling, and I think it's sort of, they go one way or the other. It's not necessarily a black or white. Foam rolling is not necessarily great for every single person, but for some people, it can be amazing. It can help some people with restrictions in soft tissue, improve joint range of motion without decreases in performance, and you know, I've seen a lot of amazing changes. Do I want you foam rolling for 20 minutes? Heck no. Let's be more efficient with our mobility work. But for some people, a minute or two, test, retest, see was it efficient for your body. A lot of times that can be a great adjunct to the rest of your training to help you get into better positions and find what's right for your body in order to improve your technique, which will then allow you to reach your true athletic potential, because now you're moving with good technique and loading your body. That's what it's all about. That's what Squat University is about, guys. Now, that is it for today's Squat University podcast. Again, we hit the wrist, the thoracic spine, the lats. Those are the main three issues, the factors that become problems that can limit your front rack position. If you are having issues on all those and want to read more on them, squatuniversity.com, blog article tab at the top. I've got a ton of free articles on there. I have a few on YouTube, not as much as on Instagram, but there's a lot of videos that can help with your understanding of how to perform these if the picture that I was trying to paint with my words today was not as efficient as it could have been. Again, I want to thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart for listening to this podcast. I hope it is bringing value to your life and helping you improve the issues that you're having in the weight room to allow your body to move better and then find that true athletic performance. If you are enjoying them, please share them with your friends. Continue taking screenshots of it on your phone, putting it on your Instagram story and tagging me in it again so I can personally reach out to you and say thank you. It means so much for me to see you guys share the show, and I hope you're continuing to enjoy it. Until next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.